You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
Eden
special report. Now reporting.
I believe in societal norms.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I said already, Don, it was embarrassing. Don't scream at me on the show.
Don't defend them.
It was horrifying.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's Andrew Gundling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
Here we go, ENN on a Wednesday. Here on the Michael Kay Show, Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. Before I say hi to you guys, putting maybe a temporary bow on the Darrell Revis conversation, because Don, you mentioned before his 2009 season. So I just kind of threw it into Google and came across this at JetsXFactor.com. Do you know what of balls thrown in Revis's direction or the plays where he was targeted, care to guess what the combined passer rating was for quarterbacks who threw at him in the 2009 season, including the postseason?
I wouldn't in the teens.
Well,
you ruined it. You went too low.
He went low, yeah. But
can I take a guess?
Sure.
Guess?
Sure.
42.
29.1 passer rating.
No, there you go.
In it's a sport where, like, if you have a passer rating in the 70s, it's kind of like, not so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now he's the man.
Let's see now. Before we get into ENN, of course, we have to say hello to – let's first say hello to Michael.
I would watch over you, Deb.
And we'll say hello to Don.
He's rummaging through your pants. Thank you. I didn't think you'd – I knew
– Excuse me?
I knew when I did it, it was a drop. I just didn't know if you guys would do it. But
and let's say hello to Peter as well. Peter, I'll tell you what. It's one of your most accurate impressions.
There are a lot of things that happen on this show that the only person who will pull me aside afterwards and go, you know, I appreciate what you do, is Andrew Gundling. And every time I've done my Hard Knocks impression, you've always said to me, that is exactly what mic'd up impression. You always say, that is exactly what mic'd up is.
Yeah.
You know what's weird? And I swear I didn't know this.
Go ahead.
You know whose birthday it is today?
Don't tell me the age. Just tell me the person.
Ed Hospodar.
Well, don't say the age. Say the person. That's all we're looking
for.
Yeah,
that's
right?
I
like to guess.
Was that supposed to be don't tell me the person, tell me the age? I think he reversed again.
No, I think
you reversed again.
No, I didn't. It's because on the morning show, my bit on the morning show is I guess ages of birthdays, and I'm the master of coming within one. I'm always one off. I'm Mr. One Off.
Oh, so you want to know who the person is, and you can then tell us how old you think they
Correct.
Are. Gotcha.
Correct.
It's Darrell Revis's birthday.
Oh, my God.
How? I swear I didn't know.
Well, I'm going to throw out a guess here. Happy. Thank you, Bear. Happy 40th birthday, Darrell Revis.
You know what? Andrew, do you know?
I would guess under that. I would say 38.
See, I was thinking along with that Peter at the time. But he was born in 1985. That makes him 36.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
And he's been out of the league for years.
I know. He started up higher, and I was working my way down, but I couldn't push myself any lower than 40.
Yeah, his last year in the league was 17. So he retired at 32.
That's wild. And corner's a position where people usually stick around, and they adapt often, move to safety, whatever. not for him.
See, unfortunately, Don, that is probably a strike against him.
It is. Especially when you think of some of the names we talked about. You know, they played for a long time. Rod Woodson, Darryl Green, Champ Bailey, long, long time.
And he was physical. Like, Dion played for a long time because, again, he was Ole. He didn't tackle anybody.
Wow.
But Revis – and
You're digging in more.
But that's what hurts. Like, he played physically, and it ended up getting hurt. But, you know, he made it work for him. 7 Pro Bowls, 4-time All-Pro.
And a lock Hall of Famer.
Yep.
No question.
And he's also on the all 2010s team.
Was it the 2010s decade team or the 2000s? I was looking for that too. I'll have to go back.
No, according to Pro Football, he's the all 2010s team.
All right.
Because, again, he made the Pro Bowl in 08 and 09, but, you know, from 2010 to 2015, he went to the Pro Bowl every year except 2012, and that's when he got hurt in week three or week two.
Gotcha. All right, guys. Well, let's start again tonight with the NBA Finals. They resume this evening. Phoenix leading the series right now 2-1. You can watch it on ABC. Listen to it here on 98.7 ESPN New York at 9 o'clock. Guys, Giannis has pretty much gotten what he wanted or what he has wanted so far in this series. In Game 3 especially, he was 13 for 13 on shots in the paint. Phoenix's Jay Crowder spoke about the Suns needing to maybe show a little bit more fight in Milwaukee.
I think our mindset has to change a little bit. I felt like those guys brought the fight to us a little bit more than we brought it to those guys. And to win on the road in the playoffs, you have to bring the fight. You have to bring everything that we didn't bring. We didn't win a 50-50 battle. We felt like that was part of the game. The ball was on the ground. We never gave our bodies up to get the ball. So we lost the 50-50 battle, and we feel like we need to win that battle to win the game.
I mean, he's talking about the 50-50 battle. That's fine. But they simply cannot allow Giannis to get any basket that he wants within 5 feet of the hoop. They've got there's just has to be another way of defending him than what they're doing.
You mean besides we don't even pay attention and you look up and Giannis has 25 points and you haven't even seen him shoot yet?
Exactly. They can't happen again. And the other thing that I don't think will happen again, Devin Booker, what do you have, 10 points in game 3? I mean, he's been so good in this postseason. That was such an aberration. I'd be pretty surprised if we saw another night like that. He was in foul trouble, so that was part of it.
As tough as game one was going to get for the Bucks, that's how tough game three was for the Suns. Right, that first game, they hadn't played a finals game since 74. Things will be much different. No way they're winning by 20 tonight. This is going to be a close game. Again, the 4.5, I'd probably still pick the Bucks to cover, but I'd be shocked if the Bucks won by double digits. I think the Suns will be in this one.
This series could use that. We haven't had, in these three games, we haven't had a game really where in the final minute, 2 minutes, three minutes, you've been on the edge of your seat. It's been lacking that. So hopefully we do get that tonight.
No, there's not been a thrilling game yet. That is for sure.
No.
Can you be a classic series
without one thrilling game?
But it goes seven?
So I sometimes think about that because I believe, I'm trying to remember the year, but the Pistons and Spurs, I think, had a series, an NBA Finals that went seven that was like that. In the end, I think there was one game that was close where Robert Horry hit a big shot late for San Antonio, but I think I remember that series going seven without there really being any single compelling game. So I guess it can happen, but that series would never be considered a classic, even though it went seven. So, yeah, I don't know.
That's hard to happen, though. If you're going to go seven and be that competitive, it's got to be at least a couple of games that are going to be good.
You would certainly think so. Guys, we mentioned this a little bit earlier. Richard Sherman in the news today, and not really for a good reason. Here's Adam Schefter talking about what happened early this morning involving Sherman.
Richard Sherman was arrested early this morning in Redmond, Washington. That is the police department that essentially arrested him and booked him. Bail was denied. Now, police in Redmond would not confirm the name of the person, but it matches up to where at 2 a.m. Pacific time, police received a 911 call from a resident. The person calling said that an adult male family member who did not live there was attempting to force his way into the home. Police arrived. Suspect was located outside the home, fought with police, but was eventually apprehended, was taken to a hospital to be checked, but was cleared, and then booked into the King County Correctional Facility where he is right now.
Schefter tweeted later in the day, he tweeted this, Richard Sherman's wife, Ashley Moss, told the Seattle Times, quote, he didn't harm anybody. My kids were not harmed in the incident. He's a good person, and this is not his character. We're doing all right, just trying to get him out. I want people to know no one was injured.
Now, when you see the charges, you jump to conclusions, right? But based on the way Adam described it, I guess if you wanted to kind of just like hope for the best kind of situation, is that, listen, they got into an argument. Now, he wanted to get himself in the house. He forced himself in the house. I mean, maybe that's still a reason to call the police because she doesn't know what's going to happen once he comes to the house, but it doesn't necessarily mean he touched her. Now, I don't know what's up with the burglary thing.
She said specifically that no one was hurt.
Well, there's a difference between nobody being hurt and physically touching somebody.
Well,
but just him forcing himself in the house does not mean that he hit her or even touched her.
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, listen, we're all just interpreting here. So
right.
I asked not to be held to like a legal standard here, but it sounded to me with her making that statement, it might have been to be clear that he was out of control and trying to break in the house, but that he didn't harm anyone.
Right.
And that's what we'll that's what we're all hope for. I mean,
right.
Richard Sherman, you know, he may drive you nuts on the football field, whatever. But, like, I think all of us would agree he seems like this, like, really smart sort of normal dude.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
The confrontation with the police, Peter, again, the worst-case scenario is that he was resisting arrest. It could just be that he did not go quietly. He was upset. Maybe he was trying to make his point that, you know, he felt like he had a right to be in the house or whatever. I mean, so.
But what the hell happened with the car crash, too?
See, that's also, I don't know what's going on there. Again, domestic violence is awful, but it doesn't necessarily mean that anybody got beat up, anybody got harmed or hurt. Again, I don't feel like I'm defending Richard Sherman. We shouldn't jump to conclusions.
No, but you're right.
Worst-case scenario. And we shouldn't apologize for anything he did either. I'm just saying the way Adam described it is different than him breaking into a house, beating his wife to a pulp, robbing the house and leaving. I think we just need to look at the evidence that we have here.
No, you're absolutely right. There's clearly a lot of complexity to this. I don't think this is cut and dry. And we'll find out, I'm sure, in the coming days or weeks. But one thing I do wonder about is, you know, he's 33. He's a free agent. He's not on a team right now. This cannot help if he's looking to get himself on an NFL roster.
Well, especially since because it's domestic violence and it's investigated independently by the NFL, that even if he's not charged or charges are dropped, they can still investigate, see that there's some smoke to this fire, and suspend him. And what if he gets a 4-game suspension? Are you going to sign a guy that's not available to you for the first month of the season? I don't know.
Yeah, look, again, it depends on what results from this investigation as to whether or not teams are willing to take a chance. If in the end he's cleared of wrongdoing, but the NFL, you know, they don't need a guy to be in jail to sign a suspension. If the NFL still feels that a suspension is warranted, I think there will be teams that would still consider taking a chance on him, even having to sit through. You know, because I don't think anyone is signing him at this point to be their number one corner. So it's not like he's, you know, going to be a cornerstone of a franchise that he goes to. So he could go to a team that has title aspirations that think, okay, we can get by without him, but boy, he'll be a nice piece to have
right. Moving
forward.
And they will, if there is some sort of a suspension, and I don't know that there will be, but I'm just saying, you will still be able to go through training camp, I believe, participate in the preseason games, and be ready for week 5 to come back if he did receive a 4-game suspension.
Yeah. Peter, Don's favorite golf major begins tomorrow.
Oh. Disgusted by this.
At Royal St. George's in England.
I believe you'd be referring to the Open Champion.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's the only way you can say it. In that accent, too.
That's right.
And
it's
I believe even Golf Boy, Golf Boy and Peter, who's more of a golf boy than anybody else on the show, stills understand how pompous and arrogant that this particular major is.
Yeah, I will watch every...
Despise golf!
Yeah, you mean the Open Championship? See, Don, there are people with class, and there are people like you. And those of us with class, we tune into the Open Championship. I'll be waking up tonight to see the first tee time at 1:35 a.m.
Oh, there you
Eastern
go.
You're
popping on Peacock at 1:30 in the morning to watch the Open, probably a virgin.
I don't know if that's true, Don, but frankly, talking about one's sexual life is... another thing that makes you déclassé. That's why I'll be waking up bright and early. That's right, I'll be flipping on the peacock, as it's known, and watching a beautiful game. The sweet science, as it's known, yeah. I believe.
Kind of stinks when you name something that you can't shorten it.
You can.
You can, but either way, either the front end or the back end, it's not really a great name.
Maybe you could call it the, as you said yesterday on the program, the peeper. I'm looking forward to it, though. It's going to be a tremendous time over at Royal St. George's Golf Course.
Yeah, John Rahm is 7-1 to win this. He's the only player with odds currently shorter than 14-1. So he is the clear favorite.
I hate to correct you as it's your ENN, but you're not quite as classy as me. Hmm. Believe his name is pronounced Rahm.
Oh, the H is in no
it's
way
not,
silent.
Oh, it's not silent. No, no.
If anything, it's
amateurish.
It's more pronounced.
The more pronounced Rahm.
Because of weird scheduling quirks, of course, during the pandemic, this is going to be the seventh major contested over the last 343 days. That is obviously the shortest span over a seven-major period in golf history. No, it's insane. But now, after Sunday, enjoy this, because after Sunday, there will be no majors contested for the next 261 days.
Oh, wait. God. Wait. This is the... It's ending here? There's nothing in August? Just the FedEx Cup?
Yeah, because you have to have time for the playoffs.
I mean, everything has happened.
Yeah. This was always the last one, right?
I feel like it fluctuates sometimes.
The Masters is always in November. Masters is always April.
It's always
except
in April.
For last year. Always in April. And the British Open is always around now. I believe the U.S. Open is always in June. I believe the PGA, Andrew, is the fluctuator.
Yeah.
I think that can come like early or late. And it can be in August, and this year it's not. And it'll just be FedEx Cup. Well, that's very disappointing.
Yeah, so enjoy it.
I'm gonna enjoy the break.
Yeah. You'll need it. A much-needed break from golf for Don following this tournament.
You're a bad guy.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's see, guys, on this day in 1970.
Wait. I'm going to say, and this is not knowing, but considering where we are, was that the Pete Rose laying out Fossey?
Probably one of the most epic moments in All-Star Game history. Very good, Don. That's right. Pete Rose controversially barrels over Ray Fossey for the winning run in the 12th inning of the All-Star Game.
And
he was never, Fossey was never the same. Sustained a fractured and separated shoulder in the collision, which would heal incorrectly and cause chronic pain the rest of his career.
I got to be honest with you. As much as we love the old days and as much as we loved when the All-Star Game meant something, representing your league, Peter, this was before like free agency became a big deal where you played with the same team for 15 years in the same league for 15 years. It still was a D-nozzle move by Rose, even then.
So even then, people woke up the next morning thinking, what the hell was that guy thinking?
Whether they were or not, I don't know, but I think they should have. Like, well, I get, I love Pete, I love Charlie Hustle and all that, but really, even though it still meant something, well, it's an All-Star game.
Well, hold on.
You got to kill the catcher.
I have the exact comparison, though. One of my all-time favorite plays, and I know it's, you know, we can't speak of him in an ill way because he tragically passed, but the Sean Taylor Pro Bowl mauling of the punter, it's an amazing play, but I don't think we can, it's hard to argue it's not a bad guy move, you know? And you love the highlight, but it's a Pro Bowl, and it's an All-Star game. It's anytime you lay someone out, they clearly weren't fully prepared for it.
Yeah, that's not when somebody's career should come to an end.
No.
So as much as it might have meant something more, don't use that as the comparison, because I'm sure even then, if there was talk radio, the feeling should have been, Pete, what are you doing?
I'd like to offer a correction, everyone. Heard from my dear friend Peter Doughty in our sales department. He informed me that the PGA moved permanently from August to May last year. That's a permanent change, guys. That was specifically, so now the FedEx Cup can end before the NFL season begins. So the Open Championship will always be the final championship of the golf season. Thank you, Pete.
You sound like an older, matured Stewie Griffin.
That's a fair representation, Andrew.
I don't know what happened to me in Family Guy. I got like 50 of them on DVR. I kind of dropped out of it.
Well, it's like The Simpsons. At a certain point, even if you really like it, it's impossible not to lose luster after a bajillion episodes of the same story.
I don't know if it's that as much as it's you know that you can save them because one episode has nothing to do with the other. Like if
that
you're
too.
Watching a show, you kind of get involved because they're all kind of connected in some way.
Well, yeah, the story, but there is no storyline. Storylines don't evolve. Characters don't change.
Right. So you figure, all right, I don't have to watch this.
Has a cartoon ever, instead of doing that, leaned into characters actually aging?
No.
Definitely not. Not that I can think of.
But that's a great idea.
Because think about it. WWE runs endlessly, but you don't feel that you can just store them on your DVR because it's changing. The storyline's changing. People are aging and moving on. In cartoons, if Lisa's always 8, it's The Simpsons, it doesn't ever change.
So the one thing I do remember, and it stalled out since then, but in South Park, there was a season where they graduated from, I think, third grade to fourth grade or fourth grade to fifth grade. So they have aged once in the 24 years or 23 years of that show.
But that would be an interesting challenge, right? To actually have an animated series in which they aged. And then now it would be up to the artist to kind of come up with different ways on how they're going to look. Right? Like Bart Simpson now would be 40.
Yeah. By the way, about
Homer
Bart Simpson,
would be dead.
The way he lived, yeah. But, I mean,
come on, by Homer's dying of a heart attack. It's like 89, 97. Nuts.
By the way, Bart Simpson, he's a great guy.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, he'd be 40 and in prison,
but a great guy nonetheless. What Simpsons shirt did you have, Andrew?
I never owned a Simpsons.
Oh, you hack!
Maybe I'll go antiquing and find one.
There, you know what? By the way, that would be a great pickup. Now that would lean more into vintage, and those are expensive shirts now. Mm. I had 2 Bart Simpson shirts. Mm.
Were there words on it? Because I'm sure one of them said "Eat my shorts."
I did not have "Eat my shorts."
Okay.
I had another one, though, that was popular. It was actually somewhat controversial at the time. It was underachiever and proud of it, man. And then I had another one that when I found it, I was so excited. And it was Homer, also controversial. Homer choking Bart and said, "Why you little?" And Bart was saying, "Give me a break, man." Oh, God, I was so into Simpsons shirts. Simpsons shirts were legitimate swag, getting one, because they were kind of like, you might get in trouble for having them. They were like, it's so weird, but they were considered edgy in elementary school.
Yeah, that is very edgy, and that is ENN for this Wednesday evening.
What a job.
Yeah, we really sabotaged that one, Andrew. I apologize.
No. Totally fine.
Back with you again tomorrow, the three of us together again at 2. On Yes, a 98.7 ESPN New York. Good night. If you're popping on Peacock at 1:30 in the morning to watch the Open, probably a virgin.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.